day. People will get cards, men will get cards saying Happy Father's Day for those of us who are fathers. For some of us, it's a very happy day to celebrate being a dad. And I know that for some of those, for some of you who have had great relationships with your dad, Father's Day is a huge thing. I also know that not for everybody is Father's Day a good day, because maybe the relationships and the circumstances weren't so pleasant with your father. And so I get that. I also realize I just found out a couple days ago, it's got to be hard on a father. I'm well enough already to, as a father, to have to bury your child. That's got to weigh heavy on a father, especially on Father's Day. A young lady who I knew that was a part of the school there up in Fairbanks, Fairhill. There's a motorcycle accident, and she's all of 33 years old, maybe. And so I just remember her being in our school. And so I know for a father, I know this might be a painful day for him. Yeah. Our circumstances are varied in this room when it comes to fathers. So I want to talk about something that we can all relate to this morning. So I'd like to point out specific things that pleases our Heavenly Father. All right, this is something that we can all aspire. We want to please our Heavenly Father, because I know that maybe when you're growing up, maybe you couldn't please your father, right? But our Heavenly Father, we have in His Word where He says how He is pleased by us. So, Father God, we thank You for this morning. Father, we appreciate the fathers that are near and far. And I pray that You would just guide my words this morning. What You have given to me to share this morning would spark the ears of those hearers this morning. In Your name I pray, amen. So how can we please our Heavenly Father? The first thing I want to bring up to you, and this we're going to go kind of quick here, all right? So the first thing is attention, all right? Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him, all right? God doesn't want the cares, the things of this world to distract us from focusing and giving our full, undivided attention to Him. He desires, it pleases Him when we give our Heavenly Father attention. I think the same could be said for fathers here. You know, when your children say, "Hey, Dad," and that attention that they're giving to you, they're saying, and as a dad, I can't help but think that you kind of swell up, you know, like, man, come on. Undivided, uninterrupted attention. You're not letting the things of the world get in the way of this time that we have together, this time to bond. We must take steps daily, all right? Daily to be devoted to Him. Whether it's in song or in reading His Word, it pleases Him when we give Him attention. Secondly, we look at obedience, all right? Obedience. Take a look at John 8:29, all right? And so it reads, and this is the verse here for this morning. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. Jesus always did the things that pleased his Father, always. That's a remarkable statement, isn't it? To say that he always pleased his Father. Man, I don't know that I could say that. And maybe some young kids are like, yeah, Dad, didn't I please you all the time? maybe not. But Jesus, I mean, I can only imagine James, you know, Jesus' brother, like, oh, geez, I can't do anything right. Jesus, he always pleases the Father, right? But that's a remarkable statement. Doing the things that please the Father means obedience to what God tells us to do. Jesus lived his whole life in total obedience to the will of the Father. And that was pleasing to his Father. Our Heavenly Father was like, look at my son, Jesus. Man. I mean, as a father, your son or daughter, they just did everything you've asked them to do. Everything? Without saying it twice? Okay. I thought I'd get a little amen there, but that's all right. He always pleased his Father because he was always obedient. He did what his Father told him to do. Did what his Father asked him to do. Friends, what Jesus did, must be a goal for us. It's a goal for us. Listen, I'm not perfect, and neither are you. But we need to make strides. Not give up and saying, okay, I might have messed up, but our Heavenly Father still loves us, and to continue to want to please him. John 5:30 says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. 1 John 3:22 says, and whatever we ask, we receive for him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. When we do what pleases him, when we follow his commands, when we act right, okay, it pleases him. And I'll give you this free, all right, because that next verse there, 23, says, and this is his. It's not going to come up. Don't look for it. You have to look in your Bible, all right, or on your tablet, okay, and his commandments, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we will know that he abides in us, by Spirit whom he has given us. When we abide in him, when we do what we're supposed to do, when we listen to what he says, when we do what he says, he says, I'm with you. I'm with you. You're with me. I know you're with me because you're abiding in me. You're listening to my commands. So it's twofold. Hey, you hang with me, I'll hang with you. All right, how about that? The next thing I want to speak to, what pleases him, is holiness. And unfortunately, this word is quite infrequent in our vocabulary. We don't say a lot. We don't speak that enough. This holiness. And so, however, it's high on God's agenda. In 1 Peter 1:13-16, it says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, here, listen to me. Listen to this word. It says, as obedient children, that's you and I, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. In other words, don't act the way you used to, okay? You know better now, right? So verse 15 says, but as he who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. All right? 1 Thessalonians 4:1 reads, says this, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. One more verse here, all right? One more section of Colossians, all right? Colossians 1, 9 through 10. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Do you get that? Fully pleasing him. When we're fully pleasing him, we're going to bear fruit. Something positive is going to happen when we are pleasing him in every good work that we do. See, holiness is about our lifestyle and how we behave. We are holy when we do what God would have us to do. And when we're not doing what God would have us to do, then we are unholy. It is a lifestyle, this holiness. The more, when Jesus is, when the Lord abides in you, when you abide in him, it's not so much that you have to look in God's word. It's a good thing to do this, but hear me. You know when you are unjust, or when you're not abiding, when you're disregarding his commands, when you're unholy. That's what I was trying to say. When you're unholy. The Holy Spirit just gets a hold of you and says, you know, there's no gray area. When you're that close, when you're in that close of a relationship with him, you know it's good. And you know when you're not. There's no gray area. You don't have to say, I wonder what God thinks about this. Because if you do that, you already know you're wrong. You already know you're wrong. If you're thinking that, maybe God would say this is okay. I'm just here to tell you. When you live in that lifestyle, that holiness lifestyle, that gray area dissipates. And the love between you and your Heavenly Father just grows and it tightens. Next, let's look at faith. Faith pleases him. The author of Hebrews teaches an incredible truth about pleasing God. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. Faith pleases the Father. Our Heavenly Father loves it when his children trust him unconditionally. Like, he goes, would you say, oh, I have faith in him. I have no doubt. I can't help but say, think, I'm like, look at that. My son, my daughter, look at the faith that they have in me. When I say I'm going to take care of them, they believe it. They're not wishy-washy. Sometimes I wonder, maybe, I don't know. I think he will. That's not faith. He's saying, oh, I so adore. It so pleases me. It pleases me when I see that my children have faith in me. Over the centuries, that might not have been the case. I mean, there's times when Jesus is, when our Heavenly Father is like, you got to have faith in me, okay? Hello? I just opened up the Red Sea and you walked on dry land. It wasn't muddy. Okay, it's in God's word, it said the ground was dry. And so he walks. They walk, and all of a sudden, now they're like scared because now they see the Egyptians on the other side. They're like, oh man, they're coming for us. What are we going to do? And Jesus, like, I just opened up the Red Sea. Come on. You got to have some faith in me. Come on. Wow, that's pretty cool. You think? Because he loves you. And even when our faith is weak, he's like, I will still take care of you. Because that's what a father does. He takes care of his children, regardless of how they act. Sometimes as children, we can, I'm just going to say me, they're not, none of the kids out here, but you know, maybe as a kid, you act a fool and you act all grown and you think you know what you're doing. But you're far from it sometimes. And even when you mess up, Pops is still saying, man, that you are so aggravating, but you know what? I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to love you anyway. We live in a world that we let the outside things of the world influence us or dictate how we will believe, and because we see things going on and we're like, oh geez, I don't know. Ooh, that's going on. And oh, there's COVID, and then there's this, and then there's the Ukrainian, you know, the wars are breaking out. Hello, just a newsflash. You know, this is new, all right? God knew this was going to happen. Just read your word. He said this is going to happen, right? But our Heavenly Father says, hey, listen. I love my kids because they have faith in me when they can't even see things. They don't even see. He says, I'm pleased when you have faith in me. And you don't even see me. You don't see the things right now that I've promised to you. That whole chapter of 11 is Hebrews 11 is all about those who that of faith, the hall of faith. I like to call it the hall of fame of faith, all right? But as a matter of fact, that's so important. That's what Pastor Karen is teaching the kids upstairs right now. That's how important faith is in having it. Let me move on. Sacrifices. This is the thing that pleases him when we sacrifice. Hebrews 13, 15 through 16 says, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. For your sacrifices are pleasing to God. Our sacrifices are pleasing. What we give up, what we offer. There's that song, we sing the sacrifice of praise. That's an old song. There are numerous stories of men and women who have sacrificed fame and fortune in order to praise him. Recently, I don't know if you've seen this or not. There's the NFL player Kari Wills. All right, maybe you know him. He plays for the Indianapolis Colts. All right, safety, 24 years old, 26 years old, making he's coming out of his rookie contract, about to make millions, and he says. I'm sacrificing all of that. I'm sacrificing all that to go into ministry. Whoo! Millions. And granted, anyone who's serving our Heavenly Father, there are sacrifices, right? But this is of late. This happened this last week. He said, "Coach, here's the football. I have a new coach, and this is the playbook. And this is what I'm going to follow for the rest of my life. And I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to tell folks, I'm going to give you praise by sharing your word to people who don't know you yet. I'm going to use the platform that you gave to me, that you established for me, because maybe I might not have been able to talk to someone before. And people are like saying, I don't want to listen to you. But now, hey, this NFL football player who was making potentially millions, someone's going to incline their ear to hear what he has to say, to hear why he gave up that. And you'll be able to share the story about how Jesus Christ gave up his life so each one of them could have eternal life. By giving thanks, we acknowledge that God is sovereign and working all things. By giving to others, we share the grace God has given to us by God and things that we do. Whether it's just picking up, and I don't suggest that you do this, but I'm just saying, there's a guy that myself and Brother Ed, we pick up on the highway. His name is Daniel, and you know, he just loves it when, you know, he has nothing but the word, the love of Jesus Christ in him. And he just so appreciates when people will stop and pick him up, give him a little ride. It's a sacrifice because now I've moved. I don't live as far, so I told him that Ed will pick him up. But when we sacrifice, we're praising him. We're doing good things for other. It gives our Heavenly Father pleasure. In Galatians, and this isn't going to come up, all right, but Galatians says, so do not neglect doing good to one another, especially those who are in the household of faith. Do not neglect those inside this house. Do not neglect anyone inside this house. Someone calls you up and says, hey, I need to talk to you. Do not neglect them. I need you, sister. Can you just give me a yes, sister? Go ahead. Witnessing. This pleases him. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. I'm going to believe that we are sharing our faith. But maybe you ought to kick it up a notch and witness consistently. I consider witnessing an opportunity to brag about my dad. You know how, like, you know, your dad, for those who have that kind of relationship, oh, my dad, he's bigger than your dad. You remember that? Well, my dad's a fireman. Well, my dad's a cop. My dad is the great I am. Come on. My dad is the great I am. You can't touch that. And so when I have the opportunity to brag about my dad, I'm witnessing. Let me tell you about the great I am and what he's done for me and what he'll do for you. He'll be your dad too. He's waiting for you. He already loves you. I bet you didn't know that. We need to witness not just because people come to Christ, and that is great, but because it pleases God. We need to understand that when we share the good news of Christ and when people believe, God gets thrilled. God gets thrilled. He's like saying, oh, look at my kid. They're bragging on me. They're sharing their story about our relationship and me, our relationship. And he's just getting jazzed. He's like, go ahead. Go ahead. And don't forget, there you go. You told him about the part when you were struggling. And there I was. Witnessing is not hard when you're bragging about the greatest dad you have ever had in your life. Let me close. Maybe we can't always please our earthly fathers. And maybe there are some earthly fathers who just can't be pleased. But we can each please our Heavenly Father. We must all remember an important truth. God doesn't love us on the basis of what we did or didn't do. Our Heavenly Father is not saying, oh, you didn't read my word today. Well, you know what? I don't love you anymore. He's not like that. He's not like that. He's not like counting, oh, you didn't pray? Ah, well, you know, I had you up here, but now, you know, I don't love you as much. Not even. He's like, whether you read my word today or not tomorrow, whether you give me praise with your mouth, I don't care. I love you unconditionally. And folks, that's what I want you to leave here today knowing, that our Heavenly Father loves you unconditionally. There's nothing that you can do to keep Him from loving you. I believe that. I have faith in Him. Because no other Father has loved me the way He has. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the most awesome dad we could ever have. The most awesome dad who said, hey, I love you unconditionally. And there isn't anything that I wouldn't do for you, to include giving my very own son to die on the cross for the atonement of your sins. So that way we can spend eternity together. And Father, it's my prayer today that for those who have not accepted you as a friend, let me do it that way, as a friend that says he would be willing to give up his own life, and he did. I pray that there would be relationship. And Father, I pray that if there are relationships that are strange, where relationships between children and father, where there's issues and dramas, that I pray that you just intervene, in that hardened hearts would be made soft, so that the love that needs to be shared from both father and child would be reestablished. Thank you for the dads here today that are walking the walk and who are leading their children in a way that pleases you. In your name I pray. Amen.